The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human. I'm Valerie Bayless, and I am a member of this congregation. As you all know very well by now, Reverend Dave Dunn is on his sabbatical, and we have been fortunate to have an all-star lineup of guest sabbatical speakers. Gus Hadorn, a member of our congregation, grew up on a farm and became an environmentalist at a young age. After teaching social sciences at Milton High School for many years, he retired to lend effort to recovering the natural world and building a better way. He's also got great pictures of grandchildren, if you're interested. On behalf of Gus, our Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Brown, Music Director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, our lovely and talented cellist choir, and the dedicated technical team that's making today's live stream possible, I'd like to welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. We are a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, whom you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. We have a number of announcements today. All ages are welcome in service. There is a fidget shelf in the back of the sanctuary, and nursery care is also available. The RE schedule for the next several weeks is in your printed order of worship, along with today's second hour adult enrichment offerings, including a special Earth Day program. The RE team is hard at work organizing summer programming. If you and a friend are interested in participating, please contact Elizabeth Rohan or email re@human.org. And keep an eye out for the sign-up email coming this week. The Social Justice Committee is launching Human's involvement with UU the Vote during Second Hour on April 28th. Join us for refreshments, games, and learn about UU the Vote and how we plan to become a Good Trouble congregation. Work towards becoming an individual Human Good Trouble ambassador by attending this fun and informative party. UU the Vote will also be planting the seeds of democracy in Georgia the first weekend in May with both in-person and virtual events. You can participate in the UU the Vote programs by registering for one or all of the events, which includes phone banking, Georgia election defender training, and a rally at City Hall. More information is available at the social justice table, which has been set up in Fellowship Hall. Now we have an announcement from John Burkhart and the Earth Ministry.
Good morning. 5 years ago, we embarked on a journey of electrification and solarizing our church. Our entire congregation gathered together to support this effort. Our board, the Earth Ministry, Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, and a lot of work by Mike Liebergessel. Here's some of the things we did. It's quite a list. Two of our furnaces and air conditioners have been changed from gas to heat pump. Two thermostats have been switched to Wi-Fi smart thermostats. We upgraded our attic insulation. Our parking lot lighting was upgraded to LEDs with help from a Georgia Interfaith Power and Light grant. We also changed all the lighting in the sanctuary to more efficient LED lighting. That was also thanks to a grant from Georgia Interfaith Power and Light. The results of this are fascinating. We have dropped our carbon footprint by 25%, and in the last 2 years, we've saved over $4,000 in electrical costs and enough carbon to take 3 cars off the road per year. I'm also very proud to report that Human is the first and only solar-powered house of worship in Roswell. Yeah. During service today, I encourage you to look back at the last 5 years, at all the work we've done, and then look forward at the next 5 years, where we're going to work together. One way to do that is to join us in the sanctuary here after service. Georgia Interfaith Power and Light is going to have an offering on taking environmental action home. This is a great offering of how you can do some of the work that we've done here and take it back to your house and keep the carbon and money savings going. Thank you so much.
And finally, we have an announcement from Jennifer Phillippe.
Good morning. Many of you have heard that Human will be participating next Sunday in the Move Roswell event being sponsored by Keep Roswell Beautiful. We will have a table on North Canton where we would love for you to either join this list of wonderful women that are already signed up to volunteer there. We have myself, Amanda, Claudia, Valerie, Shelley, Susan, Lynn, and Meredith. So if you want to come hang out with some fabulous women, join us at this table. We would love some help in volunteering. Alternatively, just stop by. This event is intended to get the kids and families out and moving. And you know, we need to feel good to do good, and we can't feel good if we're not moving. So please come out and support the event. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gus Haydorn, and delighted to spend this morning with you. On the very first Earth Day in 1970, I was a graduate student and an activist, And that day, a little more focused on Vietnam, until my girlfriend came bursting through the door, very muddy, very lovely, and very excited. She had just come from the creek, where she and others had been hauling out old tires and other debris that we tend to discard in our waterways. Even Richard Nixon knew we had a problem. These are his words. "We are no more free to contaminate water and air than we are to throw garbage on our neighbors' lawns." In 1999, my youngest daughter was born on Earth Day. I have so much to celebrate. This is a fine spring day, complete with the waters of life. John Muir said, I live to enhance people to look at the loveliness of nature. This is my community. This is my church. It is beyond my experience to know if Christ rose from the dead. But what I do know is that resurrection occurs in my yard every spring. Whether we will rise from distraction, consumption, and greed, I cannot know for certain. But I am certain if we build a new way, it will not be delivered by Amazon. There are beloved faces and deeply loved places that we will not see again. But their mark is indelibly etched in memory and imagination. The world we elders knew has vanished, and the bulldozer is still running. The cherry tree my brother cut with his new chainsaw is gone with the act that he later described as the worst mistake that he had ever made. But the tree lives in my memory, and with imagination, cherry trees will bloom again. Machines have transfigured this land, but they have not taken the memories. We can accept what comes, or with imagination, we can become the designers of a better world. If we shun responsibility, machines with no capacity for humanity will determine who we become. What is virtual is less than, and by accepting such, we lose our connection with the divine. I grew up with maps. I love the view that they give me of the larger landscape, but recently traveling to a new location, I relied on GPS. It's become necessary because we no longer have landmarks. What we have is a sprawling sameness that has destroyed a natural world of diversity. Little remains that looks like Georgia, the Georgia I once knew. I remember as a child a trip from Marietta to Atlanta when Georgia was on full display. There was a lone building, a state farm, I believe, advertising perhaps the world to come. Today, it hardly matters the cardinal direction you choose. Sprawl has covered it all the same. Atlanta, no longer a city in the trees, but a place where nails and burgers and gasoline is sold on every corner. It raises the question we must consider. Where will the children play? We've grown accustomed to being used. Advertisers tell us what we need. We fill emptiness with things and become complicit with those that plunder for profit. The crisis is growing. The natural world that once inspired us, honed our curiosity, and delighted our senses with breathtaking beauty and challenged us. But we have taken her trees, covered her with asphalt, and torn her garment into remnants. Now we must travel to reserved special places to see glimpses of what once was. Many of us have turned away and gone inside. Mosquitoes and spiders, we say, have made the out-of-doors inhospitable. Our children listen. Schools only teach science in the classroom. It should be no surprise when our children turn their attention to screens and virtual reality. We have become accustomed, even comfortable with the transformation. But the dis-ease remains and smoke rises in the distance. It's time to get back to the garden, to hone, to honor the wisdom of elders, to gather all the parts and to step away from the sameness that has destroyed diversity. We too must rise like the coming of spring and become a force in the new creation. We are the species that created this crisis and the only species that can do something about it. A new story is forming, one we can help write. A new national park is an important chapter, and we are invited to be founders. Success will depend on our casting aside despair and literally digging in by creating our own sanctuary at home and in the yard. We and others of all species will benefit directly. In this process, we can develop a relationship with the earth that sustains us and our children and connect to the most important science project of our time, an effort that can help save the life support systems we depend on. 85% of the land east of the Mississippi River is privately owned. 90% of that land today is grass. That land was once habitat. Douglas Tallamy is showing how by working individually and collectively, it can become habitat again. Our obsession with neatness and grass has roots in the aristocracies of Europe who flaunted wealth by featuring grass rather than food crops. Here, we have taken it to another level by interrupting the natural cycle that uses the dead to nourish the living. We destroy diversity with poisons. In a righteous attempt to kill a weed or a mosquito, we poison ourselves. children, pets, low to the ground, and pollinators are the most vulnerable. Gravity ensures that no living thing is missed by taking it to our waters. Rachel Carson raised the alarm with Silent Spring in 1962. The EPA this month, 70 years after the introduction of forever chemicals, is acknowledging their harm. And municipalities with short-term thinking are pushing back because of the expense to respond. We feed grass with fertilizer derived from fossil fuels to ensure work for ourselves all summer. Clippings and leaves that could nurture the soil goes to a landfill in Ball Ground. It's hard to deny the insanity. Folks in colonial times, before they truly recognized what they had here, imported exotic plants. The landscape industry fuels that practice. Many plants from distant shores are lovely. I have some in my yard. But I now understand that the Japanese maple that I planted 35 years ago has only its beauty and offers no sustenance to native plants, animals, and insects. We understand that photosynthesis converts sunlight into energy that then creates plants and in turn insects that feed the world. Baby birds eat caterpillars, lots of caterpillars. It's a soft little package of dense nutrition. A nest of chickadees will require 6,000 to 9,000 caterpillars before they leave the nest. And you think your kids are hungry. These babies must get out of the nest fast because they are dense little packages of nutrition and predators have to eat. Only natural plants can meet the demand. Tallamy's research reveals that 5% of our native plants host 75% of the caterpillar species. These plants are known as keystone species because their services are critical. The oak is our finest. Nationwide, these trees provide 952 species of caterpillar. The ginkgo from China provides food for 5. Plants evolve and serve in their ancestral homes. There, nature, the master gardener, keeps them in check. But on foreign shores, these checks are far away. On this shore, we are inundated with invasive plants that have no enemy. The first step for reestablishing your own garden, your own sanctuary, is to eliminate invasives so that natives can thrive again. If natives flourish, so too will birds and butterflies and pollinators and other animals unique to Georgia that are struggling to survive. Some of the worst offenders are probably in your yard. Learn to identify the big time gangsters, English ivy, Chinese privet, Iliagnus from who knows where. Keep the exotics you must, but add natives if you want your yard to come alive. If you ensure the basics, food, water, and shelter, the poetry of butterflies, the symphony of the birds, and the fruits of the pollinators will return. Your grass can serve in the walkways, but it will never be able to hold your attention again. Let's write this story together and be a part of a movement that counters a reckless trend laying waste to the natural world. Do it at home, do it on land of your choosing, at your leisure, reap the benefits every day. The new critters in your life will bring you joy, and they will need no kennel on your nights away. We can love more than our dogs and cats. We must fully embrace our place as one of many species and learn that we are the caretakers on this planet. Our yards are a new frontier, an easy place to begin. But we must also tend the larger landscape. If you say that your actions make no difference, if you deny the inordinate influence of U.S. citizens in the larger world, if you dismiss the impact a Georgia voter will have in November, you are a part of the problem. Even Barbie has left Barbie land. This is your one precious life. If you live authentically and we work collectively, we can change the world. One yard, one county commissioner, one school board member, and one president at a time. Step away from distractions, find your voice, embrace diversity, and build for the seven generations that children of all species require. Remember what we are capable of. The passenger pigeon was once the most abundant bird on the planet. But remember, too, that by working with nature, we recovered the Great Smoky Mountains after they were laid waste by loggers. Citizens together also stopped the road that had been planned to travel the crest of those mountains. Never forget that homeowner associations are made by people, and people can change them. Your sanctuary will help feed the many species that sustain us, and they in turn will feed your soul. Be the designer of your one precious life, and be the designer of your own sanctuary. Give life to all that is within your reach. Let our children play, and let us become the adults these times demand. This month, the International Court ruled Switzerland violated human rights in a landmark climate case brought by 2,000 women, most of which were in their 70s. Let us take their hand and continue the work. Thank you.
In an effort to fulfill and further the vision and mission of our congregation, we ask that members and friends share of their time, treasure, and talents. With this, we will now take the offering. You may also give using the Givelify app. This month's 50-50 recipient is Georgia Interfaith Power and Light. Any checks or Givelify donations specifically donated as 50-50 during the month of April will go to support the work of GIPL. And today we have a brief message from Rosaline Cheung from GIPL. Rosaline is a third-year Master of Divinity student at the Emory University Candler School of Theology and the program fellow at GIPL. She works with the program team, which collaborates directly with green organizations and manages their events. Rosaline?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for having me today. Again, my name is Rosaline Seong, and I am the program fellow at Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, or GIPL, as we call it affectionately. And so I'm honored to tell you about our work a little bit today. And so Georgia Interfaith Power and Light is a nonprofit based here in Georgia. We are the only nonprofit working in the state of Georgia on environmental issues through the lens of faith and spirituality. We really believe in the power of our faith communities and our spiritual communities to call us to attention the gifts of the earth and the gifts of being community with each other. So some of the initiatives that your gifts will help us support today are our education initiatives. So I, again, as John Burkhart mentioned, I will be teaching a workshop in the sanctuary later today. Education initiatives like that, some of our practical climate solutions for congregations. So I hear you all have LEDs now, which is great. And we've helped lots of congregations across Georgia get solar power, which we're really excited about, and some of our advocacy efforts. So thank you all.
And now we will extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
And now these final words. In 2016, over 200 tribes converged in the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation to protest the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. The protest brought together tribes that had not united in over 150 years. Thousands from around the globe stood in solidarity with this huge ethical, religious, and climate movement, including our own Reverend Dave Dunn and Donna Melcher. Among them, too, was a waitress from New York. What she experienced there was so powerful and moving, it gave her hope and new possibilities. She returned to the Bronx and she rang for Congress. Many people said, "Oh, pretty waitress, nobody's heard of her." Everyone's heard of her now. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is her name. She has become one of the most visible and fearless representatives in Congress. Her visit to North Dakota, where people were, in her words, putting their whole lives and everything that they had on the line for the protection of their community, inspired her to work for her own community. She authored the New Green Deal, advocating transition to 100% renewable energy and to the end of use of fossil fuels. This legislation did not pass, but it did change the conversation. If a waitress from the Bronx can make a difference, then let's heed Margaret Mead's words and never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed individuals can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. The service has ended. Go in peace.
Thank you. The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.